Okay, we're looking at the parable of progression, okay, that's found in Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 26 through 29. And I'm not going to count down on it a lot because we've already talked about it in the kingdom of God. But just know that the progression, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. After that, you have the fruit, then it's harvest time. But here's what we have to realize. Fruit comes as a result of maturity. So God's Word in a person's life, in a person that really catches on to that and just is diligent and applies themselves to know the Word, to hear the Lord, and just nurture that, that fruit may mature more quickly than in another person's life who is more haphazard and casual, and it's your diligence, how much effort you're putting, how much intimate time there is with the Lord, okay? But the fruit is produced as a mark of maturity. So any time seed goes in, or any time you sow seed. Now, I'm talking about seed, but I want you to understand I'm talking about the Word of God, okay? So anytime the Word of God goes in you, or if you speak the Word of God to someone else, you follow where I'm coming from. All right, expect that Word to come to pass. God can't lie. Right? You sow in hope. Hope is expectation. Right? Any farmer that's sowing seeds is expecting to get a crop, isn't he? And so, when we sow the seed, we expect that seed to produce, but I'm going to put a caution in here. You're sowing. Some sow, some water. God gives the increase. Right? So don't think that every time you sow, you're supposed to see a harvest. You just put the Word in. Back in the late 80s, the Lord, you know, I had high aspirations for, you know, how everything was going to be and all this type of stuff. And the Lord spoke to me one morning and He said, this is not going to be like you thought. He said, I called you to lay the foundation, not build a house. That's your ministry. Well, I mean, that can let the air out of your bubble, or you can say, all right, this is what I'm called to do. I'm called to foundation ministry. So I'm not going to concern myself with these guys that are building houses. And once the foundation's laid, then my time's up and somebody builds the house on it. You follow me? Know your ministry. Know your ministry and be content in the ministry that God's called you to do. And so what helps me, you know, I did construction work for a while, and I learned that the pouring the footing and putting that foundation is absolutely critical. When you start framing that house in, if you don't have that foundation plumb and square, you're going to have a problem when you start setting the walls, trying to get the walls plumb and square. And you get things skewed and all that, and the higher you go, the more amplified it becomes. You with me? And so, if your ministry's foundation, then lay it solid. Paul said in the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. You beware how you build on it. And he goes on to say that no other foundation can be laid than the foundation that is laid, which is Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, you understand. So what we're laying out in people's lives is getting them to build on Jesus in the kingdom of God. Build on this. Build on it. That's the seed. Now, once that seed's sown, it's sown. So I believe it'll come to pass. You understand? If a person doesn't dig it up, it'll come to pass. But it used to wear me out not seeing results. You follow me? But then what's results? And the Lord really opened my understanding through three prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Tell me what kind of harvest they got. By today's standards, they would have been failures. You tell Isaiah to go prophesy, and he says, how long? Until everything's a waste and destroyed. No glory in that, is there? But obedience. You understand? He's sowing the word. He's sowing the word. Jeremiah gives the word to throw him in the dungeon. Oh, want to kill him? Put him in stocks? And look at Ezekiel. You don't see some long list of converts that these guys had, you understand? But they were just as true to their ministry as anyone and would be rewarded for doing what God called them to do. So don't get your eyes on all this harvest stuff. If God's called you to be a harvester, you're harvesting because someone else sowed seed. You with me? Now, be content if you're a sower, be content with sowing. If you're a harvester, be content with harvest. Don't get jealous of one another. Applaud. Embrace. Love them. Because it takes all of us working together to get the job done. You understand? And along the way, God may just let you harvest some little field that somebody else sowed. You know, just a little handful on purpose, a type thing. But stay true to your ministry and let God's Word work in you and understand that it's all progression. You know it if you would think about it. Because when you got saved, however how many years ago that was, until now, I'll bet you know more. Things have probably changed a little bit in your life. But it didn't happen immediately, did it? It's progressive. And see, God's patient with us. God is exercising faith that His Word will not return void. It will accomplish, note this, what He pleases, not necessarily what I please. And it will prosper in the thing that God sent it to do. So, don't scrutinize the seed. Just sow the seed and believe that it's an incorruptible seed that's going to produce fruit. Amen? At least approach the Word of God with the same confidence a farmer approaches sowing his field or his garden or whatever. Every one of them I've ever seen, you know, my grandparents were farmers. They went out there, when they put out, they expected to get back. And they did. Why? Because the law of sowing and reaping works. As long as you keep the environment right, the law of sowing and reaping works. But if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap. But it's going to be from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap. And it'll be the things of the Spirit. Our problem is the religious arena has taught us to look at things naturally, so we've just been sowing to the flesh and get natural results, not spiritual results. You're getting church members, but you're not getting disciples of Jesus. So what good is having a room full of people if they're not following the Lord? If they're not making an impact in society for the Lord? What glory is in all that? So we have 10,000 members. Well, whoop-de-dee. How effective are they for the kingdom of God? So don't get caught up in all that stuff. Just understand everything spiritual is not instantaneous. There's things that new birth is instant. Well, I'm going to digress a minute. Okay? Something just dropped in me. I'm going to talk to you about salvation for just a minute. Salvation is actually, I'm going to call it three aspects of salvation. If you're born again, you were saved. You were, we are, we will be. Now I'm going to qualify this. We were is spirit. The spirit man is born again, your body's not. You understand? Your soul's not, your thinking's not. You with me? Just think of man as a three-part being, spirit, soul, body, soul being made up of mind, will, and emotions, okay? And so, James talks about receiving with meekness the engrafted Word of God. Now listen to this terminology, which is able to save your soul. So what is that to save in your soul? What is it? The Word of God. And if you look at the word, if you actually look at the word saved or saved, saving, salvation, all these type of things, it's basically two words, soterin and sozo. And it's just real simple. It's a rescue or deliverance. Okay? And so the Word of God is able to deliver you from natural thinking. To think like Christ. See, Paul wrote, he said, we have the mind of Christ. That's that nature of God, the Spirit of God's in us, though the potential to think like God is there. But if we don't renew our minds, and this is what we talked about in Romans 12:2, you present your body and you renew your mind. Okay? So how do I renew my mind? Actually, that word renew, if you look it up in the Greek, is renovate. So how do I get my mind renovated? I have to get in here. See, this, you know, this is the Word of God. God spoke this. God inspired men to write. Now, I'm going to have to put some disclaimers in here, okay? Not the King James Version, all right? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew Aramaic and the New Testament written in Greek. So when God spoke to these men to write this, and make these documentations, it was the inspiration of God that came on them to do these things in the Old Testament, Hebrew, Aramaic, New Testament, Greek. So if you want to know what God's saying, it's extremely important not to just read this at face value, but to study. And we have the tools to study. You don't have to be a scholar. You understand? But you can go in and just get you a Strong's Concordance. That's a great tool. And look these words up for yourself, and you're going to find that there are some gross mistranslations in the Bible. The people that translated the Bible were educationally scholars, not spiritual people. The people who wrote what God gave were spiritual people. You follow me with that? Okay. Now, with all that said, we go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Spirit is instantly saved. So I have been saved. But as I walk through this life, I am being saved, being delivered from the things of the world by renewing my mind to think like God. Does this make sense to you? Now, don't go off with some goofball doctrine, okay? All I'm saying is you need your soul, your mind delivered from all the garbage that's been input into it by news and all the other things and friends and religion and all these things. People have given you false representation of God. You need to be delivered from that. You understand? I had to get delivered from religion. I had so much religion in me, and God is so wonderful. And the Lord opened the Word of God to me, and And when he did, I thought, well, that's not what they taught me all those years. And I started to look. I thought, did they teach me anything, Troy? And they did. I mean, they did. Don't misunderstand me. But the doctrine was so far away from the Scriptures. And see, preachers have a tendency of not preaching the Word, but preaching their opinion of the Word. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the Word. And I believe that that still stands true today. Preach the Word. It's the Word that will save their soul. You understand? And so, my idea in growing up in church was, I get saved so I don't have to go to hell. Well, I mean, that's good. That you don't go to hell, but that's not why you get saved. You get saved to come into the family of God, to become a servant of God, to where you can be earthly good. You understand? God wants His kingdom operating in earth, and He needs a body for it to operate through. So the whole purpose for God birthing us into His kingdom is to get us to represent His kingdom in earth, not to save us from hell. But if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you don't go to hell. That's pretty good, right? But that's not your focus. Focus on what God's called you to do. Every person has a purpose for being on earth. You're not here by accident. I don't care how you got here. It wasn't an accident. You didn't surprise God. And God's the one that puts the Spirit in the body, okay? Your body got here, however, but God put that Spirit in that body, and you're here for a purpose. It's just like He told Jeremiah, before your mother conceived you, I knew you. Before she delivered you, I'd already ordained you to be a prophet. You understand? That wasn't peculiar to Jeremiah. That's for anybody. God knows who you are. God knew where you'd be today. You with me? That's the foreknowledge of God. Okay? Not predestination. But God in His foreknowledge can announce your destiny and not ever tamper with your will, because He knows the choices you're going to make along the way. That's why it's so important we keep ourselves subjected to the Word of God, to where we get delivered from wrong thinking and get programmed to think right. And right thinking is thinking like God thinks. And then your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions are in agreement with the nature of God in your spirit. Are you with me? Jesus removes, He's the veil. There's so much I don't even know how to, Lord help me. You know, Wayne's not here tonight, but the name of their church is From Behind the Veil Ministry. And I gave him a hard time over that to begin with, and I'm saying, hey, the veil's rent. We're not behind the veil anymore. And then he showed me the logo, and I never paid any attention to it. I've seen it. But he told me how that came about, and Wayne's the one that designed the logo. The hands are at the top, and the veil is rent from the top to the bottom. Okay? Showing that, and you know, if you look at the Old Testament tabernacle, the holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was, the presence of God, the holy place, the golden candlestick, the golden altar of incense, and the table of showbread, mind, will, and emotions, okay? So, the presence of God now comes in to the soul. The holy place being the soul, the holy of holies being the spirit, the outer court being the body, okay? So now you have the presence of God bringing illumination into the soulish realm. Now here's the thing, and please hear this. Don't run off on the deep end. Saint or sinner, you live out of the realm of the soul because of your thinking, your will, and the way you emotionally respond. That's soul. All that's soul, right? But to be led by the Spirit is the Spirit of God leading you in your thinking, leading you in your will, and leading you in your emotions. You follow me? I will do this. I won't do that. Where's that coming out of? It's coming out of the realm of the soul. The thinking is coming out of the realm of the soul. And so James says, save that soul. Deliver that soul by putting the Word of God in it to where you're thinking the Word of God, and then your will to do the Word of God, and then your emotions will be in agreement with God because it'll be stimulated by a godly thing, the Word of God. Does that make sense to you? Okay. The body will be saved. You understand? This body's not saved. The Holy Spirit in it is a down payment assuring that there's going to be a full redemption. The body has a death sentence on it. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment, right? And so, the body has a death sentence. So don't put your emphasis on the thing that's got the death sentence on it. It's going to die. But you know what this body is? It's seed. Read the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You're going to sow the seed into the ground. Now here's the thing about seed. It's what comes up doesn't look like what went in. Thank God. So, we're sowing a corruptible mortal expecting an incorruptible immortal harvest. And when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, then that's what you're going to see. The body saved. But it's a glorified body. Now it's a body that can walk in the presence of God. You understand this old body here, God's not going to invite this body into the throne room. You understand? Now He may let me have a vision or something like that to where you're seeing in the Spirit, but not the body. God said, no, that's Adam. That's carnal. That's world. I don't want that. Let's get rid of that, and I'm going to raise something out of that that can walk in my presence. Then you'll have your spirit, soul, body all in perfect harmony like Adam had before he fell. Isn't that amazing? No tug of war, not inside wanting to do and outside not, or inside. The inside, the outside is going to be in total agreement. So we have been, we are being, and we will be. And it's all done through the Word of God. God's already announced what's going to happen. God already announced the end. That's why I can confidently say, you know, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. But the day's coming, we'll get that body. But not this thing. You understand? It's going to be a lot better than this. I mean, Jesus could just walk in a locked room. That's a pretty good deal, right? And so when you look at what the Word of God does in your life, just don't just think, well, we're going to get the gospel so we can get somebody born again, and that's it. That's not it. That's the beginning. Now, there's a lot of seed to be sown, a lot of Word to go into people's life. See, the kingdom of God is not just a seed, it's many seeds being sown into the hearts of people to produce this bountiful harvest in our lives. You know, I heard the Word on salvation, and finally one day I let that Word take root and got born again. But it was years before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believed in the Holy Spirit. But I had too much pride, too self-conscious to speak in tongues, you know. Afraid it didn't sound right to me. And, you know, I grew up seeing some wild, woolly stuff, you know, and I was afraid of the Holy Spirit because, I mean, in my worst day, I was not a real emotional person. I mean, you know, people jump up and hoot and holler, and I say, that's a good play. That was it. And I had this horror. If I yield to the Holy Spirit, I'm probably going to be flopping around like a chicken rolling in the floor. And I mean, I'd seen that. Or you know, some of this outlandish stuff. You know, they called us holy rollers back then. Okay? But that was an inhibition I had that I held that at arm's length. Inside me wanted to yield. Outside me said, boy, you're crazy. You understand? And it took years to ever get to the point that I yielded to the Holy Spirit. But the seed was there. The seed was there all the time. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't a bad seed. But I had to set the environment in order for that seed to produce. Are you with me? And a lot of that environment set through desire, passion, heat. You understand? You get so passionate in the Spirit for God. I know when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I only said about two little syllables, you know. And it, I mean, and then I, boy, I grabbed that. You know, that doesn't sound right. And so we went on so I could say, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know. Yeah, right. Okay. But I was, I had to go to, on a week's training at the corporate office that for the company I worked for. And I took my Bible, some study material with me, and, you know, I would, when I'd get off work and eat, and I'd eat dinner and go back to the hotel room, and I'd study till time to go to bed. And I'd been doing that Monday night, Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, I was sitting there reading, and I got to thinking about the Holy Spirit. And now I wasn't happy. And so I laid my stuff down, and I just said to God, I said, you know, your word says in John the 7th chapter, out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. Now I'm blatantly honest with God. I respect Him, but I'm honest. I said, I'm like a dripping faucet. There's not even a stream coming out, let alone a river. And I said, I'm going to be like Jacob with that angel. I'm not going to turn loose until the rivers flow. And then, like a self-conscious person would, I took the pillow and put it over my head where nobody could hear me. And I started praying that one or two syllables that I had. And I did all I knew to do, and I just prayed, and I don't even know how long. Probably a period of time, okay? But the dam broke. You with me? What happened? I got so passionate on the inside that I got an atmosphere set for the Holy Spirit to manifest. He was in me. I just wouldn't let Him manifest. You understand? And then when that started flowing, I got so excited, I took the pillow off my head. I didn't care what they thought in the next room then, you know. I'm not self-conscious now, you know, with that. But I look back at it and I can see what the atmosphere had to be set in order for God to do what He wanted to do in my life. I had to get passionate for God. And this is what I'm wanting to see in the body of Christ. I want to see people say, as passionate for God as you was for that 18-year-old girl when you was in high school. Not only in a better way. You understand what I mean by that? That probably wasn't a good analogy, so just pardon me on that, okay? But I mean to where it's just like, I can't live without Him. I can't live without Him. I want more of you. And I'm still saying I want more of you. Because the more I get, the more I want. I mean, it's like a kid in a candy store. You're not going to get full. Just temporarily, you understand. And then you're wanting more. And that's what I want to see in the body of Christ. But in order for that to happen, we're going to have to let that Word that God has put in our heart come alive on the inside of us. Passion will put the heat, the warmth that the soul needs to produce, to help that seed produce. You understand? The right environment. So it's a progression, but you can help the progression by setting the right environment. That's what they do with greenhouses. They set an environment for growth. Set an environment in your heart for growth. Amen? Okay. Well, you probably didn't follow that in your study guide, did you? But that's all right. I feel like we obeyed the Lord. Amen? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us, you keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Amen. Just